Welcome to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. I'm very glad to be back with you. This is going to be an interesting hour, valuable if you're the one in the family who does the grocery shopping, or even if you just eat food. We're talking today about food labels and how to make informed choices as consumers. Grocery shopping can be a stressful business these days. Our choices connect to big issues. Some consumers worry about the suffering of animals in our food chain, or about reports of air and water pollution triggered by our industrial food system. What about unfair treatment of workers? For example, the Associated Press just won a Pulitzer Prize for its expose of the use of slavery in the Southeast Asian shrimp industry. That shrimp was sold in American stores, including Walmart and Whole Foods. In the midst of planning the week's meals and watching our pocketbooks, how can we make conscientious shopping decisions? Good for society, good for the environment, as well as good for our families. Labels that have been verified by the federal government or trustworthy third parties can help. The organic label is probably the best known. But savvy corporations know that words like humane and environmentally friendly are potent marketing tools. So which labels mean what they say and which are just hype? With us to shed light on all this is Urvashi Rangan. She joins us from the studios of Consumer Reports in Yonkers, New York, where she's Director of Consumer Safety and Sustainability and a leading expert on food safety and labeling. Urvashi Rangan, welcome to Midday.
Oh, thanks so much, Sheila. I'm glad to be here.
I'm very glad that you're with us. And right off the top, I want to invite our listeners to call in with your questions about food labels. Our number is 410-662-8780, 410-662-8780. Or you can send us an email to midday@wypr.org. What confounds you at the grocery store when you're looking at labels? Urvashi Rangan, you at Consumer Reports conducted a poll late last year on what consumers think food labels mean. In your view, what was the most striking finding?
Well, we did ask consumers, and we do through the years, poll them on what's important to them when they go shopping and then what they're looking for in order to find that. And then we also ask questions about what they expect from certain claims out there. What we do know is over the years that consumers are becoming more and more interested. It's becoming more and more important to hold the values that you mentioned, animal welfare, not polluting the environment, making sure workers are treated fairly, sourcing local food production. 91% of consumers find that to be important when they're shopping. A lot of these things consumers can look for through labels. Some of these things they can't entirely. But we at Consumer Reports have been rating labels for a very long time and trying to educate people when they are in the store as to which labels and claims have meaning behind them, have definitions, have verification, and which ones don't. And unfortunately, we don't really have a level playing field out there. Pretty much anybody can use whatever claim they want to on their package and put it out there. There are some exceptions to that. You can't call something organic without it being illegal if you don't have certification behind it and aren't meeting the standards. But for the most part, you can stick claims like natural on anything and not have to mean very much by it. And it's just so hard as a consumer to know whether a nice logo on a package with a claim in it has standards and verification behind it or it doesn't.
Well, you have particularly taken on the label natural. How prevalent is natural in the grocery store?
It's so prevalent, and it's really an indication that companies and manufacturers are trying to reach consumers where they're at. They want products that have less pesticides, that have less artificial ingredients, that are produced in a environmentally sustainable way and in one that is good to the animals, where, say, animals don't get drugs every day. The natural label, unfortunately, has nothing to do with any of those things. On meat, it has a very limited definition that it's nothing artificial added to the cut of meat itself. And it has nothing to do with how the animal was raised or what it ate or whether it had drugs every day as a healthy animal or whether it was confined or really never even saw the light of day if it were a chicken. And that's a problem. When it comes to processed foods, there's even less definition. And yet Our courts are tied up with lawsuits, many, many class action suits brought against companies making natural claims that use GMOs, that use
genetically modified
organisms. And, you know, that's all a lightning rod issue. But sort of safety aside and everything else, it's not a natural product. It isn't natural per se. Those things did not occur in nature. And most people don't want GMOs or genetically modified ingredients in their natural labeled foods. And so natural falls very short of consumer expectations out there. And we estimate about 70% of consumers are currently being misled to think the natural label means much more than it does. And because manufacturers don't have to do as much as organic, you can tweak that price point a little bit and consumers think, oh, it might be cheaper than organic and I'm still getting my value. That's a trap out there. We think a lot of consumers are being misled. And it's why we have asked the government to just ban the natural label altogether, focus on organic. That's much more in line with consumer expectations and should be the focus of making it be everything we want it to be, and not bother with defining natural all over again. We don't need another organic white label, and natural at this point has no meaning.
This is Midday on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with environmental health scientist and toxicologist Dr. Urvashi Rangan. She's director of consumer safety and sustainability for Consumer Reports. We're talking about food labels. You just made some very interesting points, including that what you'd like the government to do is ban the word natural as a label for foods. I mean, this is challenging for me. Natural is a common English word. How can you go about telling the government that they can't, that they should stop businesses from using? And if that word were banned as a label, wouldn't companies just come up with other positive words? They already use other positive words that are also generic and therefore don't have specific rules behind when they can be used.
Yeah, so those are all good questions. Why would we want to go scratch out a word in the dictionary? And I don't think that's the goal. I think we understand what natural is in a general sense, in a conceptual sense, what it ought to be. And we think organic is actually the closest thing we've got to a codified, defined, verified label that represents what people think of as natural food. So this isn't about trying to erase that concept, but really when it comes to things people are claiming on their package, vague and misleading terms like natural, especially when they have no definition behind them, really do the market a big disservice because companies can use them any way they want to. And in any normal circumstance, if there weren't another label out there that was meeting comparable expectations to natural, we'd ask the government to define it. And then that would be an important step to take. But because if we were to define it, we would basically start to go through everything we did to define what organic was, which was a law that was passed in 1990, and it took 12 years to implement because there was so much agita and arguing over exactly what those standards should be. There were more than 275,000 comments made in the middle of all of that. We don't need to do that all over again. Now, there's an argument that's made that it's free speech. Anybody should be able to use any word they want to. But when it comes to labeling and marketing, there are laws on the books, including those at the Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. Department of Agriculture and our Federal Trade Commission, which is supposed to prevent deceptive and misleading business practices, advertising practices, and those include labeling. And unfortunately, by allowing natural to be used on any processed foods, FDA owns that, but they don't have any definition behind that. And so there becomes nothing to enforce against, and it basically continues to mislead consumers. And in that way, we don't think people have a right to, they don't have the freedom to mislead. Free speech is one thing, and then really misleading people with claims is another.
Let me pick up on that, because you've used that word a lot, mislead, or you said consumers are misled by this label natural. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the fact that it is a word, you know, that we use in common English, if a consumer reads too much into it, how much of that is the consumer's fault and how much is the company's fault? Because as you just pointed out, many groceries, I would hazard a guess, but you probably actually know, most groceries carry organic foods as well as other foods labeled natural, which might tend to cost less. And if I choose that natural, which as you said a few minutes ago, maybe I want to think I'm getting all the benefits without paying the price for organic, how much of that is on me as a consumer?
Well, the burden of proving something ought to be on the company that's making the claim. And so just like if you were to call something safe, you would expect that that is a true statement. If a company is using the word natural, you as a consumer would think that it's coming close to meeting what you think of as natural. And by probing consumers along the lines of what they expect, like no artificial ingredients or pesticides or genetically modified feed or drugs every day in animals, that's what people think is a more naturally based food product. Companies simply don't have to do that. In the month of February, we actually featured 25 different natural labeled products. Major brands like Wesson Oil, which claims to be 100% natural, or Kraft Shredded Cheese claims to be natural, and really dove into why we thought consumers were being misled based on the expectations they told us they had around it. So in Wesson Oil, the soy or the corn or the canola comes from genetically modified crops. People don't think of that as natural. They're also mostly extracted with hexane, which is a petroleum-based ingredient, and actually vegetable oil production is associated with high levels of hexane emissions into the air, which I don't think many people know about. There are environmental implications there. People don't know that most of their oil is produced that way. And so that really belies what I think people think of as natural. With the Kraft shredded cheese, we had an example of an ingredient called cellulose, and it's basically wood pulp, and it's used to keep the shreds separated. That can also be use many chemicals in order to prepare that ingredient in order to be used. There's things like xanthan gum, which you could argue is natural. It comes from slime-producing bacteria, and then you have to extract the slime to get the xanthan gum out of it. So is this all on the consumer to figure out every single ingredient and what it should mean and how it's processed? These things aren't even on the ingredient list a lot of the time. And then sometimes they are. Dole Fruit Naturals had sodium benzoate, potassium sorbate, things that were just straight up artificial in them. That's not on the consumer. That's on the company for really pushing the boundaries of what is frankly common sense for what people think natural ought to mean, and really misleading consumers into thinking something else.
Hrivashi Rangan, we need to take a quick break here, and obviously lots more to talk about in this conversation when we get back. I want to involve our listeners who are already starting to call. Do you think it's up to consumers to know what natural means and what it doesn't mean, or do you think the term natural needs fixing? You can give us a call at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about food labels and how to interpret them. Hrivashi Rangan, label decoder extraordinaire, is joining us from the studios of Consumer Reports in New York, where she's director of consumer safety and sustainability for Consumer Reports. We have a caller picking up right where we were. Peter calling us from Baltimore County. Peter, welcome to Midday.
Hello. How are you? Just calling in to weighing on the issue. I think that, I mean, I'm a huge, we purchase a lot of organic food for our family, really involved going to the farmer's market. And sometimes I don't want organic food. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. Sometimes we just want something that's a hybrid. So I think using the word natural, getting rid of it is terrible. I mean, I love the word. I love to see it on food items. And when I see the word, I know it's not organic. I know that it could mean anything. But what I'm typically thinking about when I buy products that are natural, especially if I buy them at the farmer's markets or small stores, is that they're small batch. So maybe they use local fruits or vegetables, but then they're purchasing other materials that aren't so natural. So,
Peter, I'm not sure I followed that.
Think about that.
I'm
sorry.
I'm not sure I followed that. The small batch part. You're saying I heard you say that you rely on natural as you consider it an informative label at a farmer's market, but I'm not sure I understand why.
Well, so that if there's a pasta maker, they're Amish. The Amish are typically not organic, but they do grow their own vegetables in an organic way, but they're not certified.
Gotcha.
So to me, that falls under natural. They make, there's some Amish or some other individuals I know that make pastas for local grocery store chains. They're not organic, but their processes are similar and close. And, my wife and I will read about them. We'll visit the company, talk to them, and we find out that it's a hybrid of between the two.
Gotcha. And Peter, do you feel the same way about natural as a label in a grocery store as compared to a farmer's
market? I see natural in the grocery store that it is not organic and that they're going to be everything in there that maybe I'm not looking for. So I always read and look at it, but I still make some of those purchases, especially if I read that it says, local honey or strawberries and no fake, fruit flavor. So, I think that the consumer really does read these labels, and to think that they don't, I think is, insulting to the consumer.
Let me see what Urvashi Rangan has to say. Peter, I appreciate the phone call. Dr. Rangan.
Yeah, I think the caller brings up a lot of interesting points. I mean, first of all, what we know consumers think isn't what we're surmising they think. We'd run national polls to ask them what they think. So what I'm bringing up and raising, most consumers don't think there are artificial ingredients in food labeled as natural. Two-thirds are currently misled to think that, and that's why they buy them. So this isn't just a matter of, consumers know and they know. And I guess I would say that, vague and misleading terms don't help. And people who are doing something in between organic and nothing, there's a lot of things to claim. So, for example, as the caller brought up, no artificial flavors, maybe no artificial preservatives. Those are much more specific claims than natural. And why should the onus be on the consumer to decode that because it has no standards and everyone can mean what they want to by using it? And some people will mean something, but some people will mean other things, and some people won't mean anything at all. And so why is that onus on the consumer to decipher that? We think that labels in the store ought to have meaning, they ought to have standards, and they ought to be verified. And there are lots of labels in between the conventional baseline and organic, and there's even some labels above that that do have meaning and offer a real gradient of different value to people. It's not always organic, but kind of like the hybrid that the caller was talking about. And similarly, at farmers markets, it is true. A lot of those farmers are small scale, and you can get to know that farmer and what they're doing. I will tell you, though, I've been talking a lot to the green markets in New York City, and they struggle. We have farms that are certified biodynamic. They meet an incredibly high set of standards. It's more expensive to produce that food. And then there are farmers who claim to be spray-free. That has no real claim behind it. We don't know what that means. And it's very difficult for even someone at a farmer's market, if you're really not up on the labels, to know how much more value that biodynamic farmer actually has. That doesn't mean you have to buy there all the time. But in terms of understanding that gradient of value, it's hard at the farmer's market. It's a little easier because you can talk to people. But when it comes to labeling at the store, We think that you need a set of standards and you need verification, and that's what that label doesn't have.
We haven't talked about the proceeding which the FDA has underway, partly because of the questions that Consumer Reports has raised. Tell us about that.
That's right. We filed a petition with the Food and Drug Administration in 2014 to ban the claim, again, based on the existing regulations that exist saying that they should prevent misleading labeling. Natural, by the way, isn't the only one. Free range, no nitrates. There's actually a slew of labels that don't mean very much out there. Incidentally, anyone relying on hypoallergenic on a personal care product, FDA also oversees that, and there are no standards. So they did open this comment period based on our petition to ban the claim in part. The Grocery Manufacturers of America also submitted a petition saying they want to ensure that foods that are genetically modified can continue to carry a natural label. That really flies in the face of most consumer expectations at this point, and it's not labeled, so you can't even know that on a package, whether it contains it or not.
So if somebody listening to us now wants to file a comment with the FDA, what should they do?
Well, so May 10th is the deadline now to file comments in with the FDA, and they're receiving thousands of comments, and it's really important for people who have an opinion on this to weigh in. We also have a petition that's up on our site at consumersunion.org. We have over 250,000 people currently signed onto that petition to either ban it or set a definition that is so high that it cannot mislead. And so for that, on processed foods, we're arguing that if it were organic and no artificial ingredients, that that would then meet the consumer expectation around what natural should be.
And so is signing your petition the same as filing a comment with
you? Yes. If you sign our petition, we'll submit your signature in close to May 10th, which will be the closing of the docket. And you can also go to regulations.gov. You can type in natural and get the docket number where you can submit your comments directly into FDA. Either way is important, and people should do that by the May 10th deadline.
That is Urvashi Rangan, Director of Consumer Safety and Sustainability for Consumer Reports, here on Midday on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast. We're talking about food labels and how confusing they can be, and whether specifically the label natural should either be banned or defined to actually mean something. Dale is calling us from Baltimore. Dale, welcome to Midday.
Hello?
Dale, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I was saying that I'm a microbiologist, and Clostridium botulinum is an organism found naturally in the soil all around us, and it naturally produces a toxin called botulism, and it'll kill you dead just as naturally as it could be. So the word natural really has no meaning in terms of safety. And if you think of something like walking through the forest and getting, what's that ivy that produces a skin rash? That's natural too, but it's harmful. So the word natural doesn't really mean anything in terms of safety.
Dale, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Dr. Rangan, you want to comment
I think that is an important concept to underscore, is not to confuse natural with safe. I think people do confuse that and conflate those things sometimes. Things like arsenic and lead and heavy metals, they're all natural too. So you don't want to equate those. On the other hand, if you define natural to be something like organic plus no artificial ingredients, you actually probably are having some indirect effects on using more safe ingredients. But you should not buy that because you think it is safer. And meat, for example, which is loaded with bacteria to begin with, we say no matter which meat you buy, even though some can be produced better, that's just, you know, raw meat has bacteria and you need to treat it all the same way. You can't treat it as if it's safer and then handle it more poorly.
Martin from Lutherville has written us an email raising a word that you've used several times in this conversation. The use of the word organic is also not clear, Martin writes. In the United States, there are four different levels or categories for organic labeling. There are also different organic standards in the U.S. Consumers need to know more about where their food is produced. You need to have trust in the producer, which is virtually impossible with the large food conglomerates. How would you respond to Martin's points?
Thanks, Martin, for raising all those issues. You know, organic's an interesting label in that it's a public-private sort of thing. Our taxpayer dollars support it. The U.S. Department of Agriculture runs it. And it is not a perfect label. But what is really great is it has an accountability system that the public can participate in. And in fact, at the end of April in Washington, D.C., the last week, and I'll be there along with some of my staff, testifying, we go to two National Organic Standards Board meetings a year where anyone from the public can make comment on what they think or any concerns that they have and share that with them. There's often an agenda of items that they're dealing with, materials they're considering approving or not, and other issues like animal welfare or biodiversity that will get discussed at those meetings. And it's important that people participate in those because we need to continue to make sure that organic gets stronger over time. It should actually also improve over time. Martin is right. There are four tiers of organic labeling. There's 100% organic. Then there's organic, which means at least 95% of the product's organic. There's made with organic corn, let's say. When you see a made with claim, it means at least 70% of the product is organic. And then there's less than that, which you can't put an organic claim on the front of the package if it's less than that, but you can label the ingredients on the back. The non-organic portion of the organic and the made with organic has to follow what's called the national list, and those are materials that are reviewed and approved and put on this list. There are issues with how those materials get off that list because they're supposed to sunset after 5 years, and we've been arguing for a long time that that sunset system isn't working as well as it should be. But again, all the more reason for people to get involved. Organic is really the demonstration of how sustainable food can be economically viable in the marketplace, and it's important that that label stay strong to continue that, and it does bring the bottom up, and it has been a gateway for other labels to come onto the market as well in this space. So if you care about sustainable food, whether you're above organic or don't quite know what it means, getting more involved in that process is something that can help all of us and the label itself.
One of the things that I want to ask you about is the chicken and the egg. And Murray from Clearville, Pennsylvania, has gotten there ahead of me with an email. Let me read part of it to you. I have a dozen of my own chickens, which are truly pasture-raised. They roam the property, eating grass, bugs, and worms. Cage-free just means that the 10,000 chickens are no longer in cages but in one big room. It's better. They can walk around, but the stress is still very high, and the birds need part of their beaks burned off to keep from killing each other. Free range means they can have a 10 by 10 foot pen outside the crop, outside the coop that the 10,000 chickens can get to. Pasture raised means free. How would you respond to Murray?
So he brings up a lot of good points. I mean, sustainable chicken production is really about the chickens being outside, and that's the most sustainable they can get. When they range on pasture and they eat pasture and insects, they're getting their amino acids naturally, things like methionine, that in conventional systems and arguably even in organic, you can feed them synthetic versions or artificial versions of those amino acids. So we've been constantly fighting along with a number of other groups that we shouldn't be allowing that even in organic. And I will say that they are finally giving space requirements now for organic poultry. Those have been missing. And pasture is not required for organic poultry. So that additional pasture raising is another feature that if you find something that's, say, organic and animal welfare approved, then you know that those chickens went on pasture. The other thing to keep in mind is egg-laying hens can be caged Chicken broilers are generally not caged. So when you see cage-free on eggs, it means something more than cage-free on broilers, because indeed no broiler in this country is in a cage. And then the caller is absolutely right that cage-free can still mean you're just standing in a very crowded house. And they do, in fact, de-beak or trim beak so that chickens, when they're very, very confined, will start to peck at one another. Pigs, when they're very, very confined, or cows, will start to swat their tails at each other and even cause a spinal infection. So we physically alter many animals to compensate for our crowded, confined, conventional systems, and that's a problem as well. So the caller really raises a number of good points, and I'll just say on organic poultry, more needs to be done. But there are other labels out there like animal welfare, even certified humane. If you see that with a free-range claim, then you know those animals got a little bit more. But there's no question that when we evaluate these criteria, chickens on pasture are where it's at in terms of getting to the most sustainable systems.
And that will show up as a label, pasture-raised?
Well, pasture-raised, you would need to see with another certified claim, and I think that's what people have to constantly keep track of, is which claim is certified and which claim isn't. And pasture-raised itself is not a certified claim. It'll be something that a producer may use in addition to other claims on there. So you have to sort of look for the veracity of that either through another certification through another certified claim. So you have to do a little bit of that verifying yourself. And that's why on greenerchoices.org, we do have a database of all these claims so that people can kind of look up quickly and see which claims do actually have standards required behind them and verification, and which ones don't. And if you see those, what we call general claims, that don't have standards and verification, you have to look further on that package or talk to the farmer to make sure you're getting what you think you're getting.
And the website where you discuss this is greenerchoices.org. All one word?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We will link to that also from the midday page at WYPR. We need to take another quick break, and we still have the rest of the hour with Dr. Urvashi Rangan of Consumers Union. We look forward to your calls, too. Are you swayed by words like humane or environmentally friendly in a grocery store? Do some labels seem more meaningful to you than others? Are you willing to pay more for food with a particular label? Give us a call at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us. Welcome back to Midday. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this hour with Urvashi Rangan, Director of Consumer Safety and Sustainability at Consumer Reports. We're talking about food labels like organic, humane, cage-free, and natural. Which labels are meaningful and which ones aren't? And if they mean something, what do they mean? Join our conversation. Send us an email at midday@wypr.org or call us at 410-662-8780. I want to ask you about pesticides. How harmful are they to health in the doses that one might get from a fruit or vegetable?
That's a great question. We did a big report that's also on greenerchoices.org on pesticide residues. We analyzed the USDA database of pesticide residues. And, you know, what we were able to come out with for consumers was a risk index. We sort of graded the residues that were found across the toxicity indexes based on EPA safety standards for the most part, and where those limits were. We also took into account how frequently people would encounter them based on how often they were detected and what a serving size would be. And we created a relative risk ranking of all produce, basically, of fruits and vegetables that were in the database. And you can actually look at them by their country of origin. And what we found was really interesting. Green beans, for example, across the board, they were the highest on our list of produce where we say, you know, you should really just buy those organically when it comes to the health risk from that, especially if you have kids. Kids are smaller, pound for pound, they get more exposure, and they have developing immune and nervous systems. And so there's a five kind of produce we really recommend buying organically, especially for kids, five fruits. Nectarines, tangerines are on that list as well. And then there's a way to buy even conventional produce that has low residues on it. That doesn't necessarily mean that workers weren't exposed, especially in things like strawberries where you're fumigating the soil. That may be more of an issue for the person who produced your food rather than a health problem for you at the end. But one thing to keep in mind is that these pesticides were designed to kill things. They were based on neurotoxins for the most part. Initially, right after World War II, we started using them in agriculture after that. And they're designed to kill things, and they're pretty indiscriminate about it. The problem is that things become resistant to them. That's what nature does. And so we often find we're in a race to the bottom. And that's why using the amounts of glyphosate we've been using in the environment as related to genetically modified crops, those weeds grown around those crops are now becoming resistant to glyphosate. We're having to switch to other pesticides. So that approach to our pesticide use really does need to be looked at and addressed. And less is better. And we definitely encourage people to try to expose themselves to the least amount of pesticides, the least amount of heavy metals possible. We think that's just important in terms of leading a healthier life.
So on a food product, the organic label would address pesticides. Is there anything, any other label that gives consumers any assurance that there are not pesticides in that food that they're about to eat?
There are other labels out there. Some of them are worker welfare labels. The Food Justice Program, for example, will certify organic farms. And so they do have to be organic, but that the workers were protected too. There are other integrated pest management labels, or IPM. Food Alliance is one of those labels, for example, or the Rainforest Alliance, which you sometimes see on like Lipton tea. We rate those as somewhat meaningful labels. They don't have quite as much meaning as, say, organic or biodynamic does, but they definitely provide some set of standards. Often they will have a list of prohibited pesticides that, say, the World Health Organization has said are very, very bad. So there are a number of labels out there. Again, at greenerchoices.org, you can find out all of those labels and see what they mean. Similarly, on aquaculture, on farmed shrimp, for example, there's some farming sustainable labels. And again, we have a big shrimp report on greenerchoices.org with all of those labels and how they compare to one another against a number of different attributes. And they can also manage pesticide as well as drug use as well.
Greenerchoices.org is that website. We will link to it. Sarah is calling us from Baltimore, I think taking part of this last answer at one step further. Sarah, welcome to Midday.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I called to ask if you'd talk a little bit more about slave labor. The fair trade label, I always assume, means I'm not participating in that, but if there are any confusing issues in making a decision not to support that.
Confusing issues in making a decision not to support
fair trade. Or how we can make sure we're not buying anything that involves slave labor.
Sarah, thank you. Thank you for the question. Dr. Rangan?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. There are a number of labels that address worker welfare. The Food Justice label was one I brought up earlier. It's really the sort of gold standard. There's also Fair for Life, Food Justice, the Equitable Initiative. So there's a number of different worker welfare labels. They all vary a little bit. And again, we have those all evaluated on our website. The one thing to keep in mind is if your food is coming from afar, it's harder to know. And it becomes more important if there is a fair trade label or a worker welfare label to really understand what that means. In some cases, for example, only a very small percentage of the chocolate bar could be fair trade, whereas most of it isn't. So That's a trap when it comes to worker welfare labeling. The other one, and we brought up shrimp a couple of times, is 90% of our farmed shrimp comes from out of the country, and there's not a lot of worker welfare labels on shrimp, and so some of the other environmental labels have taken that on. Whole Foods has also added a responsibility element to the fish that they source. And so there are some ways to do that. Just remember, the further away it comes, the more questions you should ask and the more corroboration you should do to make sure, again, that you're getting something and perhaps paying more for something that you expect.
Well, speaking of corroboration, Hannah is calling us from Baltimore with a question. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My background is as a dietitian, and my question actually, and I've worked for actually a food service company and in sort of the food management world. My question is regarding regulations for companies to be able to reply to you in a timely fashion if they're inquiring about their ingredients. So let's just say you want to call a company to ask them if they use genetically modified corn, you know, for a processed food. Is there any discussion about that for the consumer?
Interesting question, Hannah. Dr. Rangan.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we featured our 25 natural labeled products in February, we wanted to make sure we gave every company that we were going to profile ample opportunity to respond to us. And before we even did anything, we contacted each and every company and asked specifically about the issue we were going to profile and if they had any comment. Some companies, I have to say, Wesson Oil responded right away. They said, yeah, we use genetically modified crops and we extract with hexane, that we don't think we're breaking the law, which they're not. They replied to us right away. Some companies didn't respond at all. Some companies told us actually they had taken the natural label off. Kashi was one of those companies that in the process of going through it, they told us they had taken it off. And then when companies didn't respond, we sort of hit them again and again and again. And there were some that simply never did respond in the end. I think companies certainly have a responsibility to reply to consumers and answer these questions in an honest, transparent, and straightforward way. And if they're not, then I think, look, you don't know what they're hiding exactly, but it begs the question as to what they might be hiding. And companies do have a responsibility, we think, to respond to consumers and consumer inquiries.
So, Hannah, I think perhaps the message between the lines is if they won't talk to you in a timely fashion, you can sort of assume the worst, and maybe that's where consumer pressure comes to bear on markets, on companies. I'm curious, Rashi Rankin. We've talked about how difficult it can be for consumers to figure out what's actually going on because the labels in big letters often don't carry any meaning. Some stores, like Whole Foods, cater to consumers who care about these things. Is it safe to assume that a particular store will carry only products that are produced conscientiously?
Well, I think Whole Foods is really unique in what they've done, and while, you know, some people think of them as the big monster of organic, in a lot of ways they have really adopted a lot of these values into the way they procure the products that they carry. And so it's much harder for us, for example, to walk into Whole Foods and find a bunch of misleading labels. That's not where we tend to find them. It's really in the sort of big box stores, supermarkets, because Whole Foods has gone that extra mile. And whether it's meat labels and the GAP stepwise certification and trying to incentivize farmers to get in at step one and move up the steps, whether it's their aquaculture label, which they definitely have a minimum for what they're going to require for you to even get into the store, or the produce that they're selling, that they are also trying to integrate some fair trade practices across the board, that they... Well, again, not perfect. They've done a lot of good things, and I think a store like that is providing value added. Now, Whole Foods is expensive, and the argument on the other side is, should it only be the people who can afford it who get the better food or the better quality food? For us, we feel like, no, everyone should be entitled to that. And that's why while we're always trying to offer consumers like short-term advice, we always are looking at what are the long-term policies that have to be fixed so that we can bring the bottom up, for example, and dealing with the routine feeding of drugs to healthy animals every day. That's an issue for us. We want to see that wiped out in conventional agriculture. It will be good label programs like organic and other ones that will bring the bottom up over time, and they're already starting to do that.
We're down to just a few minutes, and I want to raise read part of an email from Michael in Glenrock, Pennsylvania, who raises another measure by which some consumers make their choices. Michael writes, many consumers, me included, try to purchase products, including food, that have a low carbon footprint. Unfortunately, often it's difficult to tell which are less carbon intensive. Soybeans and bananas are two that come to mind. Why isn't there a move to put consumer carbon index label on products, food or otherwise?
There is a movement. It's really hard to do it. It started as a local food movement, and they were trying to figure out how can we sort of do food miles. And depending on where you are in the country, 100 miles is either short or very long, depending on where you are and how close you are to farms. And so it became very difficult to come up with a label for that. When it comes to sort of the carbon footprint, though, and the energy required, it's a little like what we call in the science world the life cycle assessment, and it's amazing how many parameters you have to take into account to accurately calculate that figure. I don't want to say it can't be done, but it requires a lot of tracking and codification across the board so that you always, you know, take water into account or how high energy the food product is itself. How much energy it takes to go in order to get that food out, and then how much you truck it, where it goes after that. That all plays into it. And if you think about it, even for one farm where things are going in multiple different places, that energy footprint is going to be a little bit different in the end. So lots of factors to consider, but I imagine we'll start to see labels like that in the not-too-distant future.
Urvashi Rangan, we are flat out of time. I really want to thank you for this interesting conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Urvashi Rangan is Director of Consumer Safety and Sustainability at Consumer Reports. We will link to greenerchoices.org with a lot of background on the issues we've talked about. I also want to thank Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. And thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow. The Baltimore City budget proposed by outgoing Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake would cut after-school programs and related services by about $4 million. What would that mean for young people and for the city? Join us tomorrow. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned now for Here and Now.
Midday is produced by Maureen Harvey and Andrea Appleton. The show is engineered by Luke Spicknall. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming are available at WYPR.org or on demand using the WYPR app. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.